No surprises from the hard line. Live from Rangers Spring Training in Arizona on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
You're listening to The Hard Line here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. We are live from Rangers Spring Training here in Surprise, where batting practice is going to get going before too terribly much longer as the Rangers get ready to take on the Royals out here tonight.
I love batting practice. It's something that we miss, Rods, now.
Yes.
Because the when we do the show.
Right. Yeah. Well, we are out here in Surprise. And normally the trip from the Dallas area to Phoenix is a fairly easy one. Not so much for one of us yesterday.
It's pretty simple. I mean, you go to DFW, one of the best airports in the land, and you go to your gate, you get on your plane, and you go. There's nothing to it.
You get
simple.
Off, you get off here.
You get off here.
Grab
you,
your rental car.
You rent a car. You drive.
Hit 17, go north.
There's nothing. Right there. There's nothing to it.
Yeah, theoretically, that's true.
Theoretically.
Sometimes it doesn't always work out that way. At least it didn't for one of us yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And that one of us is me.
We need to change the name of the segment.
To what?
Early Alzheimer's and you.
Well, no, I didn't forget anything.
Mm. You know what? I still think this is a gag.
Well, don't, because it ain't.
Yeah, I heard you screaming that on the phone last night.
If there's a prank afoot here, it's me pranking me.
So I was telling him last night when I finally saw him at 11:30 or something, I was like, you know what? It's like that you have tried to prank yourself, and then each time you did it, you tried to one-up that prank on yourself.
Well, what happened? Because I called last night just to kind of check in and let you guys know, because I had to take a different flight because I had Desperados yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a hold of Danny, and all Hades was breaking loose.
You didn't believe. I told you first.
No, I didn't want any part of that, and I almost hung up on you because I smelled a giant prank, and I didn't know where you were going with it because it didn't seem to affect me.
No.
But I knew somehow I was going to be the ass end of the joke.
Yeah, he kept going. Grego kept going when I was telling him the story because it sounds so crazy. He kept going, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I don't believe you. I'm not going to be sold. No, you're not going to get me on this one. Uh-uh. I'm like, dude, I'm not getting you. I'm telling you what happened to Ryder.
So what happened? Because I wasn't there.
Well, let's start with everybody arriving at the airport at DFW.
Yeah, we all get there. Our flight leaves at 2-something.
2:30.
So we all get there around 1. And we all end up meeting at a local airport tavern.
Fred's Bar.
To watch some basketball. The Mavericks were playing. The NCAAs were going on. There was a golf tournament afoot.
Now, let me ask you this. Was the airport packed? People?
No.
Not really.
I figured it might be because it's the tail end of spring break.
Yeah. It wasn't anyone a big deal at all. So, we all are sitting there in the bar watching the games.
Order a couple of $11 shiners.
Yeah. And we go back to the gate when we figure it's about time for our plane to board. Well, we go back, and there's not only is it not ready to be boarded, there's no plane at our gate. And this is about 20 minutes before we're supposed to
America
take off.
America West, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
They don't have very many gates there at DFW.
Oh. Well, there's no plane there. So we're going, oh, man, this sucks. And they say it's delayed at probably 30 minutes. Probably in 30 minutes we'll get on our plane. So we go back to the bar, sit there, watch the end of the Mavericks game, watch the end of out of Georgia Tech and somebody else playing. And we wait another, 10 minutes or so, go back.
Haul all our luggage back to the gate.
Go back to the gate, still no plane. Well, man.
Okay, now, by now, I'm starting to think, okay, this, we're not going anywhere for a while.
Well, about this time, they made the announcement and said that our flight was going to be delayed about 30 minutes.
But they've already told you 30 minutes, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it's an hour. So now it's obviously past 2:30, right?
Yeah.
So now we're just kind of on a just monitor basis. Just come back every 5 minutes, see what's going on, which continued to do.
Now, the bar that we were at was probably about I don't know, 50 to 75 yards, excuse me, down from the gate. So if they were going to make announcements, we couldn't hear it in that bar. They had the sound turned up on the games and everything, and plus it was kind of an enclosed area. So we had no idea, you know, if they would have told us our flight was canceled while we were in the bar, we wouldn't have heard it. So about, I don't know, pretty much pushing an hour as far as our flight being delayed, Danny goes, you know what, I'm going to go to the restroom and then go check in the progress of the flight to see if our plane has even landed yet. So he disappears.
I go to the gate, and still no plane. So I'm thinking, what is going on? So I go up, and I'm about to ask the lady what's happening, and they say, final boarding call for flight 545. And that was us. So I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Because there's no plane.
There's no plane. Well, I go up and ask the lady, and she says, oh, well, they've changed gates.
Oh,
you're at a different gate.
So you guys...
So I'm standing there.
So all of a sudden, you guys are in danger of missing
yes.
the flight.
So I ask her, it's like, okay, it's at the gate right next to it. So I'm like, well, do I have time to run back and get my friends? Because we need to be on this plane. And she's like, you need to get on the plane. We'll take care of getting your friends. Where are they? I said, they're at that bar. The Fred's bar right down around the corner. It's about 50 yards away. She said, I will page them and make sure that they can hear it in the bar. Because apparently they have the normal paging
off.
System, and then they shut it off inside the shops and the bars. And she swore up and down that they would take care of that. So anyway,
well, that doesn't work in all the shops,
well,
because I picked about that time to wander over to the newsstand across the
he
way.
He leaves me. I'm still at the bar.
You and Donnie Baseball are at the bar.
But
I
at
have
the time, you don't know that... That you're even close to.
No.
I was so sure that we weren't that I just decided that now will be a pretty good time to wander over to the newsstand, see what they got.
So I go ahead and board. I'm trusting this lady to take care of paging the rest of the party. I sit down, put on my seatbelt, and about, I don't know, 90 seconds later, here comes Corby. Here comes Donnie Baseball. No Reiner.
So what happened to me was... I'm by myself in that bar. Donnie had left, and he figured out what was going on, and he got on the plane. And Reiner just did one of his disappearing acts on me. Like, we're sitting there watching the game, and then I turn around, and he's gone. And he just walked over to the newsstand, you know, to go check out whatever.
I probably wasn't in there for 10 minutes.
To go get your ARP edition.
I get those in the mail.
Oh.
Donnie, do you have anything to add on this?
He doesn't speak.
Right, I forgot.
It's okay.
He's like Kenny on South Park.
He's
right.
Mute.
And so as Reiner leaves, I'm thinking, well, I'll walk back over to the gate. I'm sure everybody's over there and just checking on the flight status. So I wander over there, and as I'm wandering, very faintly I hear someone go, Corbett Davidson and Michael Reiner, would you please come up to gate so-and-so? I was like, what? So I walk up there. I go, did you just call my name? Yes, your plane's taking off in about 1 minute. I'm like, what? I go, there's no plane here. She goes, no, you're at this gate. I'm like, oh my God.
And the gate that had no plane had our flight number and our destination on their display screen. The other one was completely wrong. It was like going to Sacramento or something.
So I go, listen, I go, I got a buddy who's back there who has no idea. Let me go find him. And she goes, you have exactly 30 seconds. So I run back to that bar. And I look around. There's like a little smoothie hut around there. I can't find Reiner.
There's a puddle of pee.
Yeah. One odd puddle of urine.
Mm-hmm.
I smelled it.
Not led by me.
It was his.
It was his.
Now, how would you know that?
Because you like to mark your territory.
And we're used to the smell.
So I go back, and I get on the plane. And, you know, those two guys, Donnie and Danny, are both just now settling in because we're the last people on this plane. And I walk back to my seat, and I'm right next to Donnie, and Reiner is supposed to be right in front of me. His seat's empty. I'm thinking, man.
What the hell?
He's missed the flight. He's going to miss the flight. And we tell the stewardess, who in turn tells, I guess, the pilot, who tells the gate people. They try to find him again. They can't find him. Finally, some guy who works for America West Airlines comes and sits down in Reiner's seat. He was waiting for one person not to be there so he could catch the flight.
Well, that one person was you.
And he sits down, and he was like, well, tell your buddy I'm sorry, but I'm sitting here. He ain't making the flight. The stewardess comes back and goes, I'm sorry, your friend is not making this flight.
Boy, it sounds like they went out of their way.
They did.
Yeah,
they did.
I love America West, by the way. That's a great airline.
They did. They tried.
And so the door locks, the engines roar, we start backing out, and Reiner is left at DFW.
And we all turn and do a little high five to one another.
Yeah, we kind of did.
Because we love this story so much. So that's not the half of what happened. I don't know what, I don't know how you got to Phoenix, but I certainly know what happened once you got to Phoenix and the comedy of errors that ensued after that.
All right, well, we'll get into that next here on The Ticket.
KTCK, Dallas-Fort Worth. KTBK, Sherman-Denison. KTDK, Sanger. Find out who's wearing Cinderella's slippers this year. Live coverage of the NCAA tournament, Thursday night at 7 on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket.
It is 5:54. Be by the channel tomorrow if you are interested in owning Subway Team Hardline in the forthcoming D&M Leasing Charity Challenge on I-7, which will take place at the AAC Monday. We're going to auction it off tomorrow, so be by the channel then, and we'll tell you exactly how it's going to work and what great things will come your way if you are fortunate enough to win the auction to own Subway Team Hardline as they take on Speedy Oil Change Team Musers a week from tonight at the AAC. All right, where were we?
Well, we got on our flight to Phoenix, and you didn't make it.
No.
You were not on the flight for whatever reason. And I just want to know, when did you realize that we had taken off and that you were there?
All right, what time did you guys take off?
We left at
3:30?
No, we left about 3:45.
3:45.
At 3:45?
Yeah.
Yep.
I barely missed it then. What I did was, it couldn't have been 3:45. It had to be.
We sat on the runway for a while.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, once you guys got on the plane, I couldn't find you. And I thought maybe you went into one of those other bars.
No,
maybe
we walked
to another one or something like that. I was still thinking that the plane was nowhere near taking off.
Because it wasn't at our gate yet.
Right. So I walk up and down the thing a few times. I'm looking for you guys. And I thought, okay, well, they're in some other bar somewhere. Let me just have a seat here. They'll turn up. So I started watching NCAA tournament basketball. I wait and I wait and I wait. And about 4 o'clock or so, I think, there's no way, surely, that this thing's taken off without me. Because, I mean, my boarding pass said gate 24B, and there was no plane there. So I'm thinking, surely, if it had changed gates, I would have known about it. So I went up there and asked the woman. They say, oh, yeah, that plane took off about a half an hour ago. And I'm going, son of a bitch. Okay, you got to get me on another
son
plane.
Son of a bitch. Now, we knew, we saw that another flight was leaving at 4. Someone on the plane told us that.
Yeah. Okay,
there's one right behind us.
It was too late to get on that.
Oh, gosh.
It was too late to get on that. I said, all right, well, what else you got? And they said, well, they, you know, got in their computer and started pecking and stuff like that and got me on one that was going to leave about 5.
Meanwhile, you've been at the airport for 4.5 hours.
Right.
Jeez.
So I got on the one at 5 o'clock. Now, complicating all this further, we should point out, because this becomes a very big player later. Complicating all this was when I started packing that day, I grabbed the cell phone, and instead of doing what I normally do with it, which would be put it in my pocket, I throw it into my bag thinking, well, I'm not going to need this.
I've never known you not to have your cell phone in your pocket.
I know. I'm normally the cell phone police. What do I say to you when you lose your cell phone?
How do you not carry it with you at all times? How do you lose it?
Right.
He'd be more apt to not have on pants than not have his cell phone.
And
on.
Not only that, but to put it in your checked luggage.
God, come on,
like
man.
In your suitcase.
I know.
You've got your little Reiner suitcase with your stuff in it. Just put it in that.
You carry everywhere you go.
Right.
I know.
All right, so you make the 5 o'clock flight. Do you leave at 5?
Yeah, we left at 5.
All right, you leave at 5, which is 6 o'clock.
Phoenix time.
No, it's 4 o'clock.
Phoenix.
So anyway, we land. Our flight lands at, around, what, 5 o'clock Phoenix time? Something like that? I don't remember.
It was 5:41 when we got here.
Well, we thought for sure that you had figured out that, obviously you'd miss our flight and that you'd gotten on the next flight. which was 30 minutes after we had taken off. So we go to that gate to wait for you. Mm-hmm. Well, the whole plane gets off, no Reiner, no sign of you. And we're like, man, what is going on here? We call your cell phone. You know, it's obviously turned off. It answers immediately.
Right.
And we're leaving messages. Did you get all our messages?
Yes. I didn't listen to them, but I certainly knew they were there.
But we didn't know what to think. And so finally we're like, man, he may not even get out here.
So we wait.
So sometimes, Danny, you may understand what's coming true.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand.
Well, someday, Danny, you will.
I didn't understand how a grown man could check his cell phone.
Right. Now, we got your luggage. Your luggage made the flight.
Yes.
And now, I was perceptive enough to grab your bag.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, that was paramount on my mind, the fact that I'd gotten separated from that thing. And upon landing...
You know what? I can't believe they let you go, because usually they'll catch that at the airline.
Donnie and I talked about that. We had it all stacked on one of those carts,
mm-hmm.
and we were leaving, and I told Donnie, I was like, man, they're going to check us, and they're going to bust us.
But see, not only that, if the person that checks luggage doesn't get on the plane, then sometimes they'll hold the plane up. Because, I mean, they're thinking, hey, somebody may check something
right
in there, and they don't want to be on the plane if something goes haywire.
Right. Well, it made it, and we got it. And so...
All right, but when I get there, the main thing I'm thinking about is, where is my bag? So I go through the rigmarole of going to the America West baggage handling desk, which took forever.
Why didn't you get a payphone and call us. Your cell phone?
I should have done that.
Pick up your messages.
I should have done that.
We all had our phones on. You knew we were waiting on you in some capacity. You just call us. That's all you got to do, and everything is figured out.
We should have done that.
Yeah. Instead, you wait in line for an hour and a half.
You know you've got 100 messages on your cell phone. Just pick them up. Well, we're not going to leave you hanging.
Like I say, this is one of those days where just about everything I did was the wrong thing.
God!
You're a reasonable, smart human being.
All right, so you wait in line, and then what do they tell you once you get up
So are you. Do you always act that way?
No, when I'm about to get on a plane, most of the time, yeah.
Or what about when you're drunk?
We're not talking about me.
We're talking about you.
Right. You weren't drunk, so that you have no excuse.
So what did they tell you once you got to the front of the line?
Oh, it took them about 10 seconds to say they're up by the carousel. If it's there, it's up by the carousel.
And it wasn't.
So I go up there, look around. It's not. So another thing that I didn't know is where we were staying. I thought surely we were staying in somewhere where we were last year.
Meanwhile, we were all given a packet exactly where we were staying.
Right.
I didn't get that.
Yes, yeah, you did.
Yes, you did.
We all got it.
Grego, you got yours? It's right in your notebook. You showed it to me earlier.
Yeah.
Everybody got it.
Didn't get it.
Okay.
Well, before all this, we tried to get the rent car that was under Reiner's name.
Another thing I didn't know.
Well, we couldn't get it because it was under your name.
Right, and had you looked at your packet that you're denying existed, you would have known that too.
Didn't have it.
Okay. So we take a super shuttle, me and Donnie and Danny take a super shuttle to our hotel. Get there right before before the Sopranos went on.
Oh, and we're hauling ass and make it just to the minute to when it's about to start.
8 o'clock Phoenix time is what we're thinking.
Right. So at that point...
At this point, you aren't worried about Reiner. You're worried about watching
the
TV
Sopranos.
Show.
We're Sopranos.
Yes. Yes, pretty much.
So we turn on the TV, and it's in the middle of Catch Me If You Can. I look at the HBO guide, and Sopranos doesn't start until 10. So we've got 2 hours before Sopranos even start. Donnie Baseball and I are starving. So we're like, you know what? Let's go get something to eat. Well, we're booked in Provo, Utah. So we have to take a cab to the nearest restaurant, and that cab ride cost, what, about $30 once we had made the round trip. We're on the way to the restaurant, which is about a good, I don't know, 10 miles away, 5-10 miles away, and all of a sudden, Donnie's cell phone rings, and it's Mike Reiner. And he is
Mike
standing
Reiner
out on a street corner over by the old hotel where we used to stay at last year, which is about another 10 miles away from where we are, on a road that's the equivalent of a belt line with 500,000 stoplights. And he's like,
come get me.
Obviously, he did not get the rent car, which we left a message. You've got to get the rent car,
yes,
Mike.
Get the car.
It's under your name. Get the rent car.
If he had just simply checked his messages, he would have known to get the rental car. He would have known to... We had his luggage, and he would have known where the hotel was.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, he has no idea where his luggage is. He has no car, has taken a cab up to the wrong hotel, and is standing out on the street corner. And I think at this point, you would realize that you were defeated and that you were not going to get through this day without the help of others. I think you tried so hard to pull this thing off and to make this thing happen all on your own without bothering or embarrassing bothering anybody else or embarrassing yourself. And it all came back and bit you in the ass. And the people that suffered were us.
How much did that cab ride cost?
40? About.
The three of us together on that super shuttle paid $45. And you paid 40-something to get up there by yourself?
I didn't know where to go.
So here we go.
So Danny calls me, you know, 20 minutes after they've gone to eat. Goes, man, Reiner just called. He's at the old hotel.
He doesn't have the car.
He needs us to come take our cab that we're in right now to go get him. And then come back.
When we're trying to just go get a bite to eat real quick and make it back in time for Sopranos.
Yeah.
So, we drive the 10 miles and the 800 stoplights and pick up Reiner. There he is standing on the street corner in his purple airplane travel wind pants. And his ticket bag doesn't contain a cell phone. And at this point, there's no way we can make it back for Sopranos if we're going to eat. And I'll be damned if I'm going to go out on this trip and not get some food. So we... going and getting food and Miss Sopranos.
How defeated were you?
I was pretty defeated.
In the meantime, I'd called your wife, thinking surely he's called her to tell her that he's missed three flights coming to Phoenix. She gets all worried, and she goes, Corby, is this one of those spring break pranks that you guys pull? I go, no, Renee, it's not a spring break prank. I go, he is missing.
God, Michael.
I thought for sure that he had called. No, he hadn't called. I'm like, oh, great. Now I've worried the wife. So it was a disaster for you.
Yeah, it was. I may have to throw myself on the mercy of the court here.
Go ahead and play it, Psycho. It's very apropos.
Wandering around an airport, wandering around a city.
You should have seen me going from hotel to hotel trying to find out if you guys were up there.
Oh, no. And all it would have taken was a simple
phone
call.
All you had to do
call.
Was call.
Just a phone call.
Yeah,
just one.
But look.
Why couldn't you do that?
You know
that
how
makes
I
sense
am.
To you.
You know how I am. When I get myself into messes, I get myself out of
them. And it never worked out.
I don't call anybody else. I don't ask anybody for help. I don't impose on anybody else. I get myself out of it. But that's the way we roll.
Do you understand that by not doing that, that you created tenfold an imposition on us? That if you'd have just made one simple phone call, this could have all been handled. We could have all been snuggled up in bed watching The Sopranos with bellies full of spiced meats.
We would have
enjoyed the evening.
I understand that. If you're so pissed off, Danny, I'm sorry, man.
I'm not pissed. I'm trying to just understand
the line of
thinking.
We would have been home at like 5:45 Phoenix time to our hotel. Instead, basically, you guys got back around 11. All it would have taken was one check of the messages.
11 o'clock.
Yeah.
So basically, we were at the airport from noon until 11.
Yeah. Good work, Mike.
Well, what can I say? I don't know what to tell you.
We forgive you.
All of the night, poo-poo.
I appreciate
Until
that.
Next year.
All right, 6:08 here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. What are we doing next?
I don't know.
Mavs?
Yeah.
Let's do a little baseball talk.
You want to talk baseball?
Yeah, let's do a little baseball
talk. We got Evan Grant, Morning News, here with us.
All right, Evan joins us next here on The Ticket.